Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Mr. Marriott Jr. is suing Mr. Marriott Sr. The Marriott family is in the tabloids, and we have the tawdry details. Plus, I'll tell you about how you can rent a Frank Lloyd Wright house for your next vacation.
In your In Our Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we'll tell you some really stupid things to do on a plane, like joining the Mile High Club, and we'll explain how you can score a great room at a Holiday Inn for only 5,000 reward points. Details at 3:20.
At 3:35, we take you to one of San Francisco's many diverse neighborhoods, the Castro, to learn about a cultural and historic walking tour that everyone will enjoy.
And at 3:45, we're going to dig into the mailbag and answer your questions about credit cards, international Wi-Fi, parking at the airport, and because you asked, Mark and I will tell you what we think is the worst seat on the plane.
Nice to be back with you after a week given to the breaking news department. If you landed here for the first time, welcome to the latest edition of The Travel Guide.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Well, here we go. Once again, it's the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman.
Are you ready over there?
I am, kind of, sort of.
You've been kind of fun to watch here the last few minutes.
You know, this has been one of those days, and I think we all have them, where from the moment you wake up, you're just like one step behind yourself. So you spend the whole day kind of like trying to get back in sync with the world.
Well, I'm glad we live in the same neighborhood. I'm glad I didn't follow you over here, because that must have been, you must have been the guy that everybody was honking at driving
out. That would have been me.
Welcome, my friend.
We are Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you've been listening for the last couple of minutes, got a lot of fun stuff to cover here.
We do. And plus, we have everything that we wanted to talk about last week and didn't get to because of that horrible shooting down in Texas. We were preempted. This is, after all, a news station, so sometimes we have to remember that folks come here to get breaking news from time to time. So that's what we were doing last week. Hey, listen, before we get into the travel news this week, really something that is really important. If you are going to fly in the next few weeks, and you are going to fly from Sacramento, really, if you're going to fly from anywhere,
in the next 2 months.
But the red flag has gone up in Sacramento, and I'm going to guess this is happening in other places too, although I looked around the internet today and I didn't see any stories about it yet. But more people will be flying in the next several weeks, and a lot of those people will be people who don't fly a lot, aren't familiar with airports, and or haven't been there for a long time, maybe have extra accoutrements like children or grandma or something like that, you know, and while they're out there. The lines, the security lines are not moving as fast as they did for a while. And if you go to Sacramento and you fly out of what is the older of the two terminals, you'd say, well, why don't they just put some more people on? Well, because they can't. There's a restricted amount of space there for the security clearance. And even if you open up every single lane, then that's as good as it's going to get. So if you're going to the airport, do yourself and everyone around you a huge favor and allow yourself some extra time. I know I talk about this a lot, but really and truly, at the Sacramento airport, if you gave yourself an extra 30 minutes, you'd be doing everybody a huge favor. Parking is going to be a bigger hassle. There are more people parking. Heck, even now, before the holidays, I've gone out there a couple times to park and found that I have to park twice as far from the terminal as I planned to, or look twice as long for a parking place. There goes 15 minutes that you maybe didn't have. So just allow that little extra time.
You know, it used to be, if you had an early flight, one of the very first ones, 5:45, 6:15, you know, it wouldn't be as bad. But I've discovered recently that even those early morning flights are heavily,
if you're going out before 5:30, that means you're going to be at security when it opens about 4 o'clock. You probably won't have a line problem. The line starts to form and the rush hour in on the West Coast is early in the morning. And the rush hour used to be between 6 and 7, but I will argue now it's probably between 5:30 and 7. There are a lot more flights leaving pre 6 o'clock, and people tend to cut it really close because they have to get out of bed early, and they don't, and they're in a bad mood, and they're not really awake. And so, really and truly, just a little extra time will make such a huge difference. The concessions in our airport now are pretty good, and so there's a good place to get breakfast on both sides of security. In both terminals, so why not? Why not just go a little bit earlier?
And one other point, if you're traveling to a destination that's, let's say, you know, an amusement park or very popular vacation spot, such as recently when I was in Orlando, a lot of people are there for the weekend or whatever, then the Monday morning is the getaway day.
Yes.
Everybody's getting away Monday morning.
And be aware.
You could miss your flight.
Be aware, yes. Sunday afternoons, Monday mornings, Friday afternoons, those are busy times. Tuesday and Wednesday is not as busy a time. But still, yes, allowing yourself a little bit of extra time and knowing that in the holidays, there will be extra flights on. They'll find everything that's got wheels and will move forward. The airlines will be using. So just give yourself a little bit of extra time out there and you will just... It'll change your whole approach to the airport by having enough time to actually get through security and not have to worry about it. We best get on to the travel news.
All right. With that, let's get it done. Mark Hoffman with our weekly travel news update. Mark?
All righty. Let's see here. We've got a bunch of things. Best stories are on the top here, I think. Oh, most important stuff. TripAdvisor, this is interesting, is adding a badge to mark hotels where sexual assaults are reported. I never would have thought.
Well,
I mean, of course, I'm a man, so maybe that I don't think the same way that ladies do. But TripAdvisor has been accused of actually deleting posts that people have put up about problems they've had at properties. So they are promising to address that. And also they are going to put a badge, a marker on a website, on a hotel site. And what is it going to stay there, 3 or 6 months? And if something reoccurs, then the clock will start ticking again. So that's kind of good news. I think that's something that you would probably like to be able to know if you were checking into a hotel, particularly if you were a lady traveling by yourself. Mm-hmm. Rent a Frank Lloyd Wright home for your next vacation. The folks at Smarter Travel share this. There are several different options, one in Lancaster, Wisconsin, another one in Los Angeles. With a two-night minimum, you can go to TravelGuysRadio.com. There's a link there where you can rent a Frank Lloyd Wright home for your vacation. I think that's pretty darn cool.
It would be cool. And by the way, I'm going to digress for only a second.
Okay.
Have you heard of people that rent out tree houses for vacation stays?
Yes. Yes. There's a hotel of tree houses somewhere up in southern Oregon, somewhere near the Oregon Caves up there.
You can find one on Airbnb that's over in Santa Cruz.
Really?
We'll talk more about that later.
Marriott, we mentioned in the headlines, Marriott Jr. is suing Marriott Sr. You know why? You know the backstory to this?
No, I don't think I do.
The Marriotts are from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're a Mormon family. Mormons are not big on a few things, and one of them is divorce. So Marriott Jr. got a divorce. Marriott father didn't think that was too cool. So Marriott father wrote Marriott Jr. right out of the will and everything else. And of course, there's a lot of money involved because these are the Marriotts and they've got just a few spare dollars to go around. These are not, this man is not, you can see the picture of the one here who is doing the suing. He's not a kid.
No.
I mean, these are grown adults. So the Marriotts are having a little family spat there. Travel Guys Radio has the whole story if you're into those things. All right, some quick things here. A man is suing Sunwing Airlines, which is a Canadian budget air carrier, over champagne. He says that there are ads advertised that you get a free toast of champagne when you get on board, but they were serving sparkling wine instead of champagne. Now, to some people, you might say, well, Jesus, buddy, what's the difference?
Yeah.
And I might say, Jesus, buddy, what's the difference? But we're talking about airlines here who screw us every time they get a chance. So this guy decided that he was going to stand on principle. He wanted his
champagne.
Decided to sue them over it. Yes. If you are one of those folks who likes to play the credit card game, we've had Ben Schlopik on here before to talk about on our program. If you'd like to get multiple credit cards, try to qualify for the bonuses, the discounts, the things, and then move on to another credit card, they are on to you. American Express in particular has a whole team of people who are cracking down on gaming with new terms and conditions for credit cards, which now say that you can only apply for one in this category every so often. And if you get approved, you have to wait. And if you ditch a card after 6 months, why, you have to wait 18 months before you can apply again. So for those of you who have made your living accumulating points off of credit card deals, which have a lot to do with travel, why, they are coming after you. Idaho is becoming a mecca for stargazers. The International Dark Sky Community has declared Idaho, Ketchum, Idaho in particular, as a dark sky spot.
Those are hard to find around here.
Listen, if you go out, I found one in the middle of the Pacific Ocean once on a cruise. If you can find some place where you don't have the lights of the cities around you, the sky looks a lot different. Cute little story here about a gal who was a British Airways pilot. Her dad was a pilot for British Airways. He was retiring. She arranged to fly on his last flight as his co-pilot. How neat is that? Flew all the way to New York City. 64-year-old Dwayne Woodruff first joined British Airways in 1984, and his daughter flew next to him.
And his daughter actually is a pilot as well?
His daughter is a pilot also. Okay. She flew a co-pilot. If you're going to Amsterdam sometime soon, you want to know that Amsterdam has banned beer bike tours. You know, the things you get on and you drink the beer and you pedal and there's 10 or 12 people. Yeah,
well, Sacramento has a handful of those.
There's a couple of those in Sacramento, and they are being banned in the inner city of Amsterdam.
And why is that?
Because they create a traffic problem. The people are drunk and rowdy. They're not actually steering, though.
You have a sober person doing the driving.
They're assaulting people on the street is the problem. They're getting very drunk, and now there's a problem. So as of last Wednesday, no more beer bike tours in Amsterdam. And that is, I got one more thing here, but I'm going to save that because that has to do with one of our mailbox questions.
Alrighty.
You know, I mean, well, it may be here. This is, we get time, I guess, here. You know the Mile High Club. We talked about this.
Mile High Club. Uh-huh. Yes, I think most adults heard the scenario as to how do you become a Mile High Club member.
If you just fell out of the sky, a Mile High Club is doing it on the airplane while you're in the sky.
All right.
In the restroom, at your seat, wherever it is that you choose.
And not by yourself, I might point out. That doesn't count.
Oh, no. I should have seen that one coming. Okay, so a 28-year-old man and a 48-year-old woman. Cougar. We're on a flight from Los Angeles to Detroit over last weekend. And so the 48-year-old woman did something for the 28-year-old man to make him very happy while he was on the airplane. Both passengers were issued citations. The FBI met them at the airport. Other people on the plane turned them in.
Did you say what airline that was?
It was Delta. Uh-huh. She'd be taking notes.
Flying the friendly sky. Is that what they're...
So this is the deal, folks. If you're going to do something really nasty on the airplane, the bathroom is a disgusting place to do it. So do it in such a way that nobody knows, because people on airplanes are getting very sensitive to the fact that you would be doing this on the airplane. Or here's an idea. Wait till the plane lands.
Oh, now there is a novel idea.
Oh, because otherwise the FBI will be waiting for you, or the authorities, and you're, you know, that little few moments of joy on the airplane is going to turn into a lifelong of legal bills and other entanglements, not to mention the fact that your wife will probably find out about it. So it's just my words of wisdom. Things to make you a smarter traveler, which are coming up right after the break.
Okay. We'll be back.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Yeah, speaking of motoring west, that's the Route 66 route.
I am doing that starting
tomorrow. By the way, if you just tuned in during the break, it's the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Yes, you're going to be scouting out another
trip. I am. We are taking a trip on Route 66 with some Sports Leisure travelers in April. If you are a roadie and you've always wanted to travel Route 66, go to sportsleisure.com and put in the keywords Route 66. We are doing the eastern side in the spring and the western side next fall. And I am headed out tomorrow morning to Chicago to spend 5 days on the road with Chris Galloway, making sure that everything is just the way it was when we were last there 5 years ago.
Do you take snacks on that road trip, or do you stop at all of the, you know, cool
what
little...
What kind of a question is that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just imagining, what because I've never done this, and I find it fascinating.
Yes, yes.
You know, I mean...
You take a couple of emergency snacks.
I mean, this has got to be something that doesn't happen by chance. You plan this out. You know what to bring and where you're going to... Because you got to go a lot of miles. You fly to, like, Chicago or something?
I'll be in the Magnolia Bakery in Chicago getting something yummy tomorrow afternoon.
And then from there, you get into...
We're eating at the chicken basket.
Okay, do you rent a car?
Yeah.
And then you
go
across,
one way.
Across country, all the way to...
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. How many miles is that?
It's about 950.
Okay.
Over 5 days.
And you got your little diary and you check out places you're going to stay.
Probably... 15 or 20 stops a day. Places, not we won't use all of them on the trip, but trying to decide which ones are better. You know, is that still the way it was 5 years ago?
Or
look, that's a new thing.
Do you ever
there.
Document that, like on video or anything? You probably should. That would be a great sideline piece to go on Travel Guys Radio.
Not really, but that's probably a good thing. It would be a way to. Of course, there's only 4 seats left on our Route 66 tour. That leaves in April. So if you haven't already signed up, we're taking 30 people.
And here again, your trip is a flight to Chicago.
Chicago.
And you get on one of those fancy motor coaches.
Big, fancy coach with extra leg room and tray tables and all kinds of stuff. And then
bathroom on board.
On board.
Mm-hmm.
And only fill up about 2/3 of the coach and you head out. And when we take the people on from Chicago to Oklahoma City, it'll take them 11 days to do that route, and it's 950 miles. So see, people think about Route 66 and they say, well, I don't want to be on a motor coach or I'm on a bus tour for 2 weeks. Well, first of all, we've split it in half to do it half at a time. And the other thing is that we really do take the time to stop and meet people and say, hey, and enjoy these unique roadside attractions, like the guy with the rabbit in Illinois that autographs postcards.
Right. Rabbit Ranch.
Yeah.
And you have little places that you stay over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Along the way.
And sometimes we stay 2 nights in selected cities. Like,
you never make them sleep in the coach.
No,
I think that should be pointed out, listeners.
Real hotels.
Real hotels.
We're starting with, on this Route 66, we're starting with the Palmer House Hilton in Chicago because it opened in 1926 or 28, and Route 66 came into existence in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a period piece. And then we go to a restaurant for breakfast the next morning, Lou Mitchell's, that opened in 1933. So if you like off the beaten track, there is no better trip than you could take in your lifetime than to go on Sports Leisure Vacations Route 66 trip. That's just, I'm just saying.
Awesome.
I don't often get on a soapbox like that, but.
Well, I was just curious. I know our listeners were, but you know, I got to have this info.
Okay. So we got a couple of things here to help make people a smarter traveler, because that's what this segment is about. And. The first one has a little bit to do with hotel points. Holiday Inn, every quarter, offers up about 100 or so hotels in their system for 5,000 rewards points. Now, to give you an idea, a Holiday Inn room generally is 20 to 50,000 points.
Wow, that's quite
a
discount.
A deal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done randomly. Usually about half of them are in the country and half of them are national. It so happens that a couple of years ago, the Sacramento downtown Holiday Inn on the mall was one of them. And I had a business associate came in, stayed 5 nights, and saved himself a ton of money and points. The Rockland Holiday Inn Express happens to be on the list this time. It's the only one in the greater Sacramento area. But if you just have, if you go to holidayinn.com and you just look up the point savers, then sometimes you can find something just by chance that's in a city that you might be going to. And if you're a member of the Holiday Inn's frequent guest, their rewards program, well, you might be able to get a good deal. And they refresh that every 3 months. So it's something that's an ongoing thing for those of you who belong to the Holiday Inn frequent guests thing. Most dangerous things you can do on a plane.
Well, let's see. Number one is not wearing your seatbelt all the time.
Oh, that's actually very good. That's on the list here. You picked one from in the middle. Let me start at the top.
Sorry about that.
Most dangerous things you can do. Sitting still the entire flight on a long distance flight.
Yeah, that's because of leg circulation,
because
right?
Because of leg circulation, and it's just not generally a good idea, even if you don't have deep vein thrombosis or something close.
You just like take your seatbelt off, just kind of like stand up and stretch out a little bit.
Yeah, you don't have to walk the length of the entire airplane. Just stand up. You know, if you get up to go to the restroom, you're in a window seat or something like that, just take a couple of extra minutes before you come back. You don't have to get up every 20 minutes, but it's not a bad idea to get up once every couple of hours. Another bad thing you can do on a plane, pick a window seat for a long distance flight. It's because, once again, that discourages you from getting up. Because you're thinking, well, I don't want to bother these two people.
Right.
And then so you've created a problem for yourself. Forgetting to put your smartphone on airplane mode or turn it off entirely if you're not going to use it. If you forget to do that, your plane is going to keep searching for cell towers the whole time that you're in the sky. So it will keep looking for cell towers, which uses up your juice a little faster.
Oh, your phone, not the plane.
Yes.
Well, you know, I don't want my plane searching cell. I want it to get me to my destination.
Also, not staying hydrated. Make sure that you drink when you're on the airplane.
Water.
Yes, not alcohol or caffeine.
I drink sometimes not much water. I always drink alcoholic beverages that include water. Does that count?
Ordering coffee or tea. Did you know this? The water for coffee or tea comes out of a tank on the plane. The water that you're drinking when the flight attendant comes down the aisle, she pours it out of a bottle, and you drink it right out of the bottle. But
right.
This is coffee and tea is coming out of a tank.
Where does the water that's in the tank come from will be determined later.
Tests have been done over the years. The flight attendants, some of them will tell you, don't drink the water. Someone will say, that's where I get my water from. Don't drink the water for coffee and tea on an airplane unless you can see where it came from. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's just not a good idea. Drinking something bubbly. Bubbles are not good when you're in high altitude. When you're in a pressurized cabin, bubbles can make you bubbly on the inside. Think about that for a minute. Taking sleeping pills. You shouldn't take sleeping pills on a plane unless you have the chance to sleep horizontally, which happens very little. A sleeping pill really knocks you out, will keep you from moving around in shifting positions. It'll also keep you from drinking water. So you will wake up having not moved around, having not drank any water, and so you got to sleep on the plane. What if there's an emergency in the middle of the flight?
Yeah.
And you're whacked out? Just saying. Okay, let's see. What else have we got here? Sleeping through takeoff or landing. I'm one of those people. Sometimes I get on the plane on the 5:30 thing, and I don't remember it taking off, I have to confess. But again, from a safety standpoint, you want to try to stay awake until after you take off, and you want to be awake when you're landing, because that's when most of the time that something could occur.
I travel with nervous flyers. They make sure that I don't fall asleep during takeoff and landing.
Period. Avoiding the bathroom until you land. Nobody likes airplane bathrooms, but if you can, if you hold it until you land, it's not a good thing. If you hold it for a long time, the urine in your bladder can trigger an infection you'll likely regret. Overstuffing the overhead bin is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time. Not buckling your seatbelt. There it is, Tom. When the flight crew tells you to, because if it's turbulence and you hit a bump, you could end up with a broken neck. Happens on a regular basis. We read about that. Neglecting to buckle your child into a seat or checking your child's car seat. So if you need the car seat at your destination, never check it. Keep it with you on the plane to sit the child in, and then you'll have it to get off the plane. And those are some things that you should never do when you're getting on an airplane. The thing about drinking water, though, is really kind of important.
All righty. We got the news coming up here right at 3:30. Okay, in 10 seconds, in fact. All right, we'll be back. We're going to visit on tour to the Castro in San Francisco next with the Travel Guys. It's the Travel Guys on KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom and Mark, welcome. Thanks for joining us today. Mark, you've lined up a guest that you have been on tours with, which is a little different for you because you're the guy that that takes people on tours. Tell us about our special guest today here on the Travel Guy.
Well, Tom, I first met Kathy on one of her tours a few months ago and realized that this lady has a wonderful way of being able to show off one of San Francisco's most interesting neighborhoods. I mean, almost everybody who's lived in California for a while, and a lot of people who haven't, have heard of the Castro in San Francisco. It has a decidedly LGBT look to it. It's famous all around the world. And Kathy has been showing and, more importantly, telling people about this neighborhood for quite some time. So it is a pleasure to welcome Kathy Amendola to the Travel Guys. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really appreciate both of you the opportunity to talk about the tour and such an important time for civil and human rights in America as well as the world right now. So I think that's what the most empowering thing about learning the history of the neighborhood and everything.
How did you get started doing tours of the Castro?
Well, sometimes you just find yourself in places you had no idea. So I had been very blessed to have showed up here. I had moved here from Hawaii, and I worked for hotels and resorts, and I wanted to live in a place that had a very sexually diverse community and culture. So I basically traded off Hawaii and transferred hotels here, and then I bought the business about a decade ago. So it's been an evolution and of things happening in our world and more historical sites added for the LGBTQ history.
Now, Kathy, the Castro is a fascinating place. I remember you telling us on tour that it's actually part of an old cauldron of a volcano, if you go back far enough. But tell us a little bit about the history of the Castro district. We know what it is today, but how did it get there?
Well, we're located our state on the rim of fire of the Pacific, and this area used to be very volcanically active. That's why we have so many hills in San Francisco. They're remnants of old craters and geological formations, and we haven't had ice here. So that's why the Castro resides in Eureka Valley. And Mark, you've seen it. When we're in the Castro, you could see we're inside a bowl, a crater. And that's why the hills are so steep here, as well as the neighborhoods are so different and diverse, because I can't make it up some of these hills to get to the other side to meet my neighbor. So that's why the neighborhoods are very unique, because I'm going to stay right here. And the hills have blocked us.
And I would challenge folks who are listening that next time you find yourself in the Castro in San Francisco is look up at what's around you, and you will indeed realize that Kathy is right, that it does start to look a little bit like you might be sitting inside of a volcano. Kathy, let's tell folks a little bit about the actual tour. What does it cost?
The tour is $25. It's 2 hours. I do tours Monday and Tuesday, actually, and Saturday at 10 a.m. The tour is a very easy route through a lot of historical places in the Castro. It is the heart of the LGBTQ civil rights movement, and it continues to this day. So even myself being there for 20 years and doing the tours for a decade, we've enhanced so many actual historical sites. The first gay bar to install glass windows, the first library in the country to have LGBTQ books, single Memorial Park, first in the country, remembering men persecuted during World War II for homosexuality.
You're just talking about a few of the historical sites. Folks are going to learn all about the quilt while they're there, about the rainbow flag. These are icons to the gay and lesbian community. And Kathy, on your tour, you have a wonderful way of explaining and bringing all of these things into perspective.
The thing is this, we're considered the invisible culture, because what do sexually diverse people look like? It's not so black and white anymore. There's sexual diversity, includes bisexuality, pansexuality. You can't tell by looking at people anymore. And this is why we can't remain silent, because we have so many civil and human rights that we need in our country to be all equal citizens. And it's an important time in the United States right now.
Kathy, what makes the Castro such a unique neighborhood? I mean, it's the only neighborhood in San Francisco with a 50-foot rainbow flag flying over it every day, obviously. We've talked a little bit about that. But the Castro has some amazing restaurants, wonderful shops. Obviously, if you're gay or lesbian person, there's going to be a little bit more for you there. But I kind of sense that the diversity in the Castro these days includes a lot of people who are not LGBT. And having been on your tour a couple of times, I've noticed mm-hmm. that you have a fairly general audience there. And that must make it a little bit of a challenge for you. I remember being on your tour a few months ago. A mother was there. She obviously had brought her teenage gay son to the Castro to learn about the history and find out a little bit about things. But she was also there with her daughter, who was a young teenager or preteen. And I thought you were particularly good about saying and phrasing things in a way that didn't offend anybody or allowed folks. So just before I ramble on too long here, the diversity of the people who come on the tour, who takes your tour of the Castro District?
Mark, you're so right. Everybody does. I would say 50% of my tour members identify as heterosexual. And so everyone's curiosity is finds it interesting because it pertains to all of us in some way.
The Castro really kind of came into its own around the time Harvey Milk showed up. Isn't that right, Kathy?
Well, actually, Harvey Milk arrived in the 70s, and Harvey Milk was the first openly gay male politician voted into public office in November of 77. So when he arrived in the Castro, it was a Catholic neighborhood. The laws were changing that you couldn't get arrested for being homosexual anymore or mental illness. So Harvey moved in and was the pivot point of this whole movement moving into the Castro. Last night in the neighborhood, we had a 40th anniversary of his election, a big celebration in the Castro because, again, first openly gay man. I'm proud to tell you two lesbians in Wisconsin and Massachusetts were 2 years ahead of him, but Harvey was the first guy in our country.
Mm-hmm. And so, Kathy, how many people are in the tour generally? A dozen or so?
Vary. From just a few people up to 15, 20 people. My average tour is about 10 people, depending on the season.
And you would suggest folks make reservations a couple, 3 days ahead of time?
Sure. Reservations are accepted up to an hour before, and you can go online at cruisinthecastro.com and make your direct reservation right there.
Or you can go to Travel Guys Radio, and we will have a link to Kathy's website. Kathy Amendola of Cruising the Castro Walking Tours. You don't have to be gay or lesbian to enjoy one of San Francisco's most interesting neighborhoods. Kathy, thanks for joining us on the Travel Guys today.
Gentlemen, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thanks, Kathy. We are the Travel Guys. Remember everything we talk about. You can find it at travelguysradio.com.
One of our most popular segments on the program is our mailbox segment, where we answer your questions that you have sent in to travelguysradio.com. We have a whole bunch of those coming up next from, gosh, just all over the travel spectrum. The mailbox on the Travel Guys next on KFBK.
You know, when I first met Mark, the first thing out of my mouth is, you're kind of a rambling man, you know?
Yeah, but you weren't talking about travel. You were talking about just blabbing all the time.
Welcome. We are the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman and Sam Romano once again. I don't know why, but underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations.
Exactly.
What were they thinking?
I don't know. Next week on the Travel Guys, Chris Elliott is a popular guest here. His column appears on the travel page of the Sunday Sacramento Bee. He is a consumer advocate. Elliott.com is where you can find him. And he will be on with us next week. We are, Chris did one of those ancestral blood test things.
Right. And what does that relate to travel, Mark?
Well, it tells you where you're from and where your relatives are from. And you might there want to go and see where your ancestors came from. You know,
there
if you,
you
were
go.
From Iceland or, you know, the Soviet Socialist Republic or maybe just, you know, down the street from the Queen in England.
Mm-hmm.
Why you would that would be a chance. So anyway, that's next week on the Travel Guys. And also Gwen Duncan is going to join us and talk, make you a smarter traveler. We're going to talk about airport etiquette, which is different from some of the things that we've been talking about today and are going to talk about here in this mailbag segment. You look like you want to say something.
I always do, but probably shouldn't. But
don't always get the chance.
No, I'm good. I'm just anxious to get into our mailbag.
Okay, so I've got a bunch of mailbag questions here. And if you have a question for the Travel Guys, you can go to travelguysradio.com and send us a note. there, and we might answer it on the air. I try to answer as many of them personally as I can. Here's somebody who says, I'm fairly new to Sacramento, and I'm wondering, in your opinion, where is the best place to park at the airport? We talk about this a lot, but we probably haven't talked about it for a while.
We haven't, and it has been a while. And, you know, I...
Where do you park when you go on a trip at the airport?
Well, you know, I started using the daily lot, which is a few dollars more. Get you a little closer, but
well, there's long term. We probably should, for folks who don't know. There's long term, which is park in the boonies, take the bus
right
both ways, cheapest way to go.
$10 a day.
There's the daily lot, which is the uncovered big lot, which is that's the mid range parking. There's a shuttle bus there also. You can walk into the terminal. You might have to walk a long ways, and then there's the garage, which is the highest spot, and you park in the garage. So you used to use long term, and now you're doing the daily lot.
Actually, the other way around. I do both, but recently I've just settled for the economy lot, and I've learned that instead of trying to see if I can find a parking spot that is closer, you know what? If you're at the very back of the economy lot, the bus is going to come by within a short period of time. You're on it and you're on your way. So it's the key, though, when we talked about this earlier, allow a little extra time when you're going to park in those lots, catch the shuttle, and make your way in.
It's possible a shuttle could come and be full, and you might have to wait for a shuttle.
Right. But here again, if you're parked in the back, that's where they stop first. That's when it's most empty.
Ah, good point. But it also takes the longest, therefore, to get to the...
It does. It has to stop at all.
To get to the terminal. So
the kiosk to load up.
Very, very... So you're saying that you're willing to take the best price. You go a little bit earlier. You're usually gone for more than a day. So $4 or $5 a day makes a significant difference. I park in the daily lot, which is not in the garage.
Do you walk?
Yes, I walk. And oftentimes, because like tomorrow morning, I'm going to get there about 3:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. With any luck, there will still be slots available in the first few sections up very near the garage. So that's the bonus of flying out at O'Dark 100, is that sometimes, when this gentleman, and we're answering his question here, if you are flying and you're arriving at the airport before 4 o'clock in the morning, you can probably get a slot in the daily lot, which is the paved lot, very close to the garage, and walk in. Your car will be exposed to the elements. That's the only difference, and you'll save $4 or $5 a day.
I can warn you, if you fly during the holidays, which a lot of people do, last year we flew out on Christmas Day, went into the economy lot, drove for quite some time. Everything was full. The only reason I got a parking spot, I believe, was there. It had been, if you remember, we had a really rainy winter. There was one spot that was about 4 inches deep in water, and nobody wanted to park in it.
Ah.
So I got the flooded parking spot, let all my family off, and then I tippy-toed out with wet shoes to be able to get a spot.
Helpful hint. I'm sure people have thought of this, but if you park in the cheap lot, the paved, either a paved or the long-term lot, you get off the plane and go get on the shuttle, and by the time the bags come up and Mama gets the bags, why then you, or send Mama out to go get the car.
Yep.
And then by the time your bags are up, why then you're ready to go. And then you don't have to put all that luggage on the shuttle bus.
And have to haul it a quarter of a mile if you happen to park a long ways from where you dropped
off. So that was a long 4-minute answer on the radio there. But
a good one.
But where to park at the airport, there are three choices. If you're really cheap, the long-term lot is good. If you go really early in the morning, then you can sometimes score a really great spot in the paved lot. Otherwise, the garage, if you need to be in close. So it just depends on, again, how much time you have and how much you're willing to invest, how much saving a few bucks on your parking is worth to you. Okay, here's another question from the mailbag. Which is better, an airline credit card that earns you miles or a hotel credit card that earns you points towards rooms? So this is, I think, a story we covered maybe 6 months or a year ago. Do you want an airline card to earn miles or a hotel card that earns rooms? I will say to you that, and your opinion is important here since you're Mr. Average Traveler, I would say that you want the hotel card because it's very uncommon for a hotel chain like a Marriott, well, Marriott and Sheraton are the same now, but Hilton, Hyatt, to be completely sold out in an entire area or region. You can almost always find something within that hotel group. So whereas on an airline, scoring the cheapest flight, the 25,000-mile round trip is almost non-existent anymore, mm-hmm. so you have to have 50,000 miles, so you're always being charged double. So in my opinion, a hotel card, if you just have one card, is better than an airline card. What do you think?
Well, you know, here again, I have to agree. But at the same time, if you want, you can have both.
Yes.
But what about, just a question, mm-hmm. not an answer, what about a card from an airlines that when used can also get you points for a hotel?
Yes.
Or vice versa.
And so, like, for example, now Southwest and Marriott and United have a relationship now. So if you're a certain status on United, it'll automatically give you certain benefits at Marriott and vice versa. So yes, it's probably, if you travel quite a bit, it's probably a good idea to have one of each, whichever airline card that you use. And also look on the cards. Frequently, some cards will give you 2 points on the dollar for all the money you spend at a grocery store or at a drugstore or on fuel or something like that. So pick one of the cards that has some of those extra benefits at places that you shop regularly so that you can pick up a few thousand extra points a year from whatever auxiliary. Let's face it, most of the points and miles that people earn on credit cards now for travel are not earned by actually traveling. They're earned in other ways. You put your house payment, your whatever on it.
Yeah, you sound like that ad I saw on TV last night for a particular card that was arguing that very point. I have Starwoods through American Express. I get a little bit of both. Whenever you spend dollars on your card at a Sheraton property, you get mm-hmm. the double the points, and then you get a point for every dollar spent on any other merchandise towards your card.
We are the Travel Guys. We are digging into the mailbag here and answering some of your travel questions. If you have one for us, go to TravelGuysRadio.com, which is where you'll find a list of everything that we talk about on the program today and also a way to send us a note. Let's see, a couple more here. I hear you guys. Oh, here's one. I'm heading to Croatia on a trip this month. I'm wondering how the internet service there. Is there any way I can find out how a country's internet service rates? And we had, here it is, a list right here. These countries with the, I found this on the internet after I got this a question. Country with the best internet speed, Lithuania. And it's not close. They're 10% above everybody else. Lithuania, these are the top 10. Lithuania, Croatia, Estonia, Ireland, Romania, United Kingdom, Denmark, Hungary, Belgium, and Slovenia. Notice I didn't say United States or even Canada in either one, in any of those. The Canada is 19th. Their average internet speed is less than half the top country, Lithuania. United States is 20th, just behind Canada. Ours is about 45% as fast as it is in Lithuania. So if you're traveling Croatia, let's see, Croatia. Croatia was second mm-hmm. on this list. So congratulations. You are going to a country with some of the best overall internet speeds on the planet. All right. We got time here for a couple more. Let's see one more here. I hear you guys talking about avoiding the worst seats on the plane. John in Roseville says, so which seat is the worst? So I've got something here that talks about some of the bad seats on the plane, but I want to ask you, Tom, what do you think is the worst seat on the airplane?
Well, you know, very subjective. Some people, everybody would have probably a different opinion. Most people would immediately say something to do with the middle seat. I'm not a big fan of being in the back of the plane, and I particularly would not like the seat in the back of the plane closest to the window, because I just feel that, you know, you are definitely going to be the last person off the plane.
No matter what happens, the last person. Okay, that's legit.
So
that's legit.
I'm going, and here's, before
I tell you what I think here, John says it's the aisle seat. Here he says, John says the aisle seat in the last row next to the bathroom. You get people hanging all over your seat. The sounds of the toilet flushing and the joy of sharing the odor of anything done in the lab. Could there be a worse seat than that? So you say the window seat in the last seat.
Well, I didn't think it out.
Says
John thought this out. He must have had that seat
He must have had that seat for sure. I would tend to agree with him that the worst seat is that aisle seat next to the restroom. Anywhere on the plane. I would also say the worst seat is the seat next to the person who brought a large dog on board. So that could be pretty much any place. We got a couple minutes here. Here's what this article says. The seat with the entertainment box. Many of the seats have the entertainment boxes underneath, which cuts into the amount of leg room that you have available to you.
Well, that must be on an airline that I don't fly. There's no entertainment on the old SW.
Sure, not on Southwest, but next time you're on a United or a Delta plane,
the entertainment box.
The entertainment box. A seat to avoid, the one near the bathroom, for all the reasons that we've previously discussed. The tapered seat. At the back of the plane and the front of the plane, there are a couple of rows where there's a little bit less room because the flight is the cabin is tapered. And so the actuality is that those seats can be slightly narrower.
It's narrower in the front and narrower in the back.
In the back, yeah.
Yeah. Never
the tapered
really
window
thought
seat.
About that.
The misaligned window seat.
Oh, yeah, I had one of those on a flight not too long ago. I sat down and I turned to look out the window. No window.
Ah.
One up there and there's one back there, but nothing
one,
immediately to the side
one
of
row.
Me.
This article says bulkhead rows, rows in front of exit rows because they don't recline.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of rows don't recline. Most seats don't recline very much, but the last row in any section. Is another one. So anyway, just some ideas there from the mailbox. TravelGuysRadio.com. You can send us your question. Hilton has a brand new card. You can get the top status at Hilton for $450 a year just by getting their credit card.
That about does it. We are the Travel Guys about to say goodbye.
Yep, we are. Dance like nobody's watching, and we'll see you next week at 3 o'clock.
Stay well, my friends.
KFBK Sacramento, KBEB HD2 Sacramento, KFBK FM Pollock Pines, Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather.